And so how is that coming along? We were talking about getting that done at least prior to the beginning of the next fiscal year. How is, in your estimation, where are we in that? Is it on track? Or
we will have a budget prior to the next fiscal year. The CPB application, I had to submit a projected budget for the next two fiscal years. So, you know, any sort of grant donor, they want to see what we're doing for the next year or two. So all of that, and that's it's a projection. That's all it is. It's a projection. It's not pie in the sky. I didn't tell people that we're going to, you know, double our revenue. I followed, you know, very simple projection. Some of it was even less revenue than what we would anticipate, and columns as to, you know, this is what we could do if we had CPB funding. This is what we, you know, can't do, that kind of thing. So it's not that difficult to project out. And again, with nonprofits, as with any sort of budget, it's a living, working document. What you project at the beginning of the fiscal year may not look at all what your budget is in 3 months from your fiscal year in or halfway into the fiscal year. You're constantly working on it and you're constantly moving it around. So regardless of whether I get those numbers from the stations or not, or from their local finance committees or not, we will have a budget to look at and review for fiscal year 24 prior to that fiscal year starting. We have no choice. We have to get it done. We can't be in this position next year where we don't even have budgets yet for the fiscal year that we're in. So, you know, it will get done either way. But it just seems like the whole process is way too complicated because everybody's kind of getting caught up with what we could be doing, should be doing, you know, and I just don't want it to be so scary.
Yeah, I remember being relieved to hear you say that we were going to simplify the process because it's beyond most of our committee members and most of our board members. So,
yeah, but really, it's not. I mean, the thing is, it really is. I mean, numbers are numbers, and numbers don't lie. They either add up or they don't add up. It's so straightforward. It's not like we're asking for a group to write a document, which that does take a long time and a lot of going back and forth. But numbers are numbers. You plug them in, and if the formula adds up, great. If it doesn't, then you got to adjust it. It's, you know, a very simple little game when you look at it that way, that it's just like, we got to make these numbers work. And then now, why did we do it this way? And how are we going to make it work? And if this doesn't work, what are we going to do? It's just like the affiliates, they had kind of a backup. If it doesn't work, this is the program we're going to cut. So they kind of had, they had projected out, this is our plan. This is what we're going to do just in case that doesn't happen. And so, you know, it's, You start with plugging in those numbers, and you just whittle it out until it works.
McFadden to the stack.
I'm done. Go ahead, McFadden. And let me just see if there's anybody else after you. Would anybody else like to be on the stack? Go ahead, McFadden.
So I agree with the ED that budgets shouldn't be complicated, and they don't have to be complicated. But I'd actually like to hear that we heard a narrative that people are afraid of it. I assume we got, I don't remember the roll call, but we probably got five secretaries here. Is at your stations, is this a problem that these budgets aren't getting done because people are afraid of it, or is there some other reason? And that's really a question not so much to Stephanie's, but to the other. The secretary.
Well, I can speak to KPFK.
This one is, I think you mean treasurer, right?
Treasurer.
Go ahead, Tim.
Well, first of all, I was going to blow off the budget for this year because our building, it looked like it was going to be in escrow, and you know, we were going to have a whole different ball game. So when that didn't happen, I kind of realized, oops, I got to get going on this. And I had intended to, and I did a bunch of work, and, you know, I emailed Stephanie and Novick and Martisha, but I ran into some problems with it. And really, it's my fault for not following up. I started today to write out what my problems are. And, you know, Stephanie will get them tomorrow. And they may or may not be simple, but I mean, there is an answer, you know. I certainly don't find budgeting complicated or difficult because I've been doing this for a long time. So I don't know what to say. Most people really don't seem to like this. To pass the motion that every station has to be like this, it's going to be, you know, a problem because not everybody wants to do this or like that. But anyways, I'm gonna address my issue like the next day or so, and we'll be on our way. But I mean, I can't get the kind of response that I want from the GM when I ask for a fund drive chart. I don't get it. I have to sort of do it and then see if, you know, he agrees with it. So it's not supposed to be that way, but that's the way it is. And I can do it and he doesn't want to do it or no, you know, so I do a draft and then see where it goes. You know, every station is different and everybody's skills are different. I think at K, you know, nobody has a certain respect for my ability to do this, and it's just kind of worked out. One thing I have done for this budget was put it more in alignment with the consolidated format. So that'll make it easier for people and Markeisha to be able to, you know, track it, you know, month to month with the budget and everybody else to track it. So we're getting there, but we're not there yet. And I apologize because I wanted it done by August and you know, it's not there. So.
Well, thank you for that, Kim. And I know you've been following the budgets very closely and participating in their review and probably in their creation for quite some time. You're doing a lot of work that is normally done by a paid person. And we do appreciate that. That's, you know, something that would be nice to have at all the stations. So thank you for that, what you're doing. And is there anybody else who wants to speak to this or ask Stephanie any other questions?
Jim, if I may speak to it.
Go ahead, Kamal.
So in my experience, I think we're dealing with kind of three different things. You have what I've worked on is a projection, which typically could work out to be something in a mid-year situation where you're 6 months in and, you know, maybe you're tracking better or worse than the budget and you want to kind of project where you're going to land in the next 6 months. That's something that I think Stephanie was saying, it's like a living document. Then you also have forecasting where you might speak to a 2 or 3 year period further out. And then to me, the budget, which is what we're focusing on here, really has a strategy around it. And I think that narrative is a key piece that we're missing at WPFW. You really need to have an idea of how you're going to raise the money. I can easily take 2%, multiply it, dump some revenue in, and go forward. You know, hit an inflation button, expenses go up 1.5%, and here's the budget. But that has absolutely no vision. It has absolutely no details about how we're supposed to get there. This is the essence of the budget that I think we need to really drill down on. The numbers are simple. I totally agree with everybody's statement here earlier tonight. But without that vision, without that narrative, without that concept and how we're going to get there, it really is just math. And I think we should be better than just, you know, multiplying a percentage rate. So that's how we're working at PFW, is really trying to get our group to sit down and have a discussion around what it is we think it'll work, how it's going to work, and how we're going to quantify that vision is really what we need to get to. Thanks.
Thank you, Kamal. Is there any other treasurer that would like to elucidate how the process is working at their station or has worked.
R. Paul?
Go ahead, R. Paul.
Did I actually do this already? I'm not sure. Yes, for us.
Yeah.
Well, I did sort of do it, yeah. Management does it because management has their fingers in that pie all the time, and then they take the innards of the pie and they smear it on a piece of paper, and we see it. But in my opinion, it has to start with management because of that. The rest of us aren't doing the day-to-day situation of seeing where the crises are popping up. So no, I think I'm done already. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, R. Paul. Anyone else?
Sharon for the stack.
Go ahead, Sharon.
Well, I just want to say, yeah, I think narratives are very helpful. I remember when NESA was here, they would provide a narrative, and it was helpful to, you know, to understanding the budget. So I think that is something I just want to, I wanted to affirm that. And I just have to say, after listening to all of this, that I do appreciate that we have a business manager at KPFA. And I have to reflect on the number of times when we have been attacked for not having a local finance committee. And I want to just suggest and maybe reiterate a little bit of what Stephanie said about having several people doing the same job. And, you know, there's a sense of like a volunteer organization. Okay, yeah, that's great. But there's another way where you have to have people that, you know, just want to do the numbers and maybe produce a narrative that is associated with the numbers and produce a budget. And for that reason, I'm very happy that we at KPFA do have a business manager that helps us with our budget, because she goes through all of the actual, this is how she does it. She goes through the past actual income, you know, and expenses. And then based on the past, I think it's 3 to 5 years, she projects for what it will be for the future. I mean, that's basic. You know, I think people here understand that. But having her do that for us is very, very helpful. So anyway, just had to make that comment on perhaps the reason why local finance committees are not the best approach. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Sharon. Anyone else?
McFadden, stack.
Go ahead.
I appreciate what Sharon just said, but I think it would be beneficial to have a finance committee, if only as a backup, even if they're not doing the bulk of the work. Because if the beer truck should happen to hit our business manager, who's going to be able to pick up the pieces? So you want to have somebody, and maybe more than one person, who's kind of very familiar with all those details, who's going to pick up that. Now, maybe that's the treasurer, maybe that's Sharon, but that's kind of the role that a finance committee, and I think it would benefit, even though it might distract our business manager somewhat to have to get together and just explain it. I still think that would be beneficial to the organization as a whole.
Sharon for the stack.
Go ahead, Sharon.
You know, that was just a complete explanation of how to take a situation that is working efficiently and turn it into something that is inefficient. Mr. McFadden even stated that it would take more time and perhaps be, that just says what it is. Time equals money. So I don't understand the need to have this local control over the finances. Of course, and this statement that if something happened to her, we wouldn't be able to go on. I think pretty much every organization has a business manager, and they still could proceed if some, God forbid, something horrible were to happen. So I really think that's just an amazingly astounding red herring of an argument. I just find it just fascinating that there's this, you know, intense effort to have us have, you know, we have our KPFA meetings. We can all discuss everything there, but no, we must all argue with each other. That is what is required within Pacifica. And then we all must, you know, repeat the same function over and over and make sure that we, you know, make sure that nothing happens and that the wheels turn slower and slower so that the insurance doesn't get paid, so that payroll can barely be met, you know, so that building, you know, sales, everything is falling through. I mean, just astounding. And that's my, I'm done for now.
Sharon, I'm going to ask you a question. One of the issues that is frequently brought up about having or not having a finance committee is, at least it has the appearance of transparency, not necessarily that it is. I recall one year the finance, budget at KPFK was released maybe the night before it was considered on the local station board, and then it was given a few minutes consideration, and then they passed it. And so, and I know that I understand everything you just said, and I don't think, you know, having that transparency is necessarily going to cause that cascade of events that you mentioned, such as not paying insurance and, you know, not making payroll, et cetera, et cetera. But, and I'm not, this is not an attack. I'm just curious about your opinion about that, the additional factor of getting that transparency out there to theoretically give people some confidence.
Okay, thanks, James. I actually appreciate the question. First, I would like to take the opportunity to correct the misrepresentation that is constantly stated and repeated, because, you know, a lie that is repeated over and over somehow becomes the truth, that the budget was handed out the night before. In fact, we always have budget workshops. I don't like to talk about slate, but hey, let's say it. The other slate, nobody even showed up to the two budget workshops that were held. One person showed up for like half of one of them, and that was it. Nobody else showed up. Then, you know, they complained that they didn't have an opportunity to look at the budget. Well, that's what the workshops are for. You look at the budget, you give the comments to the business manager, she'll take it back. You know, there was a second workshop. You know, that is our procedure, that people choose not to use it. That is their choice. Let me address the transparency. I rarely don't even understand that question when it is quite transparent and obvious that our bills are being paid. And yet at other stations where bills are not being paid, there's a certain vagueness around the expenses, the bills, and where the money is going. So I don't even understand that transparency question. And then as far as being functional, I'll just repeat again. Look at what is happening where the people with local finance committees, it's been said over and over, we don't know who's doing it. We take it to management. Management won't respond. That is resolved by having a, I don't know, what the professional, a professional helping with the budget. And it shouldn't be that complex.
Thank you. I will admit freely that I think that's the first time I ever heard about your budget workshops. So that's an interesting new factoid for me to consider. Some of the other part about the transparency, I don't think it's hard for most people to understand in a 501c3, you know, membership organization that people like to see, at least think that they can watch the sausage being made, even if maybe somewhat of an illusion. So anyway, unless you want to come back on that, Sharon, I'll just move on and see if anybody else has anything to say. Sharon?
I'm done, thank you.
Okay, good. All right, I'm done too. Anyone else have any comments on this topic or any other questions for Stephanie?
Beth.
Okay, I heard Beth first, then our Paul. And I just want to note that it is 9:57 by my device, and we're going to look at those financials, and we're way past our time on this item. So, you know, let's see what happens here. But, you know, this is a good conversation. I don't want to cut it short. So let's go ahead. Who did I say I heard first? Was it Beth or our Paul?
Beth.
Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. I want to weigh in to thank our Paul for his reflections. It's consistent with mine, as I understand what he said. Normal operations for organizations like this, in my experience and training, was that management is responsible for administration, for operations, and for actually producing the budget, and that the role of governance in the form of boards or committees is oversight to for the sake of transparency and accountability. And I would leave it up to management if they want to rely on volunteers from boards and committees to work with them. I would completely defer to management to do that. But I do think that, and I say this with significant experience with the local finance committee at KPFK in my earlier years here, where I think that it should be up to the manager what offers of help they accept and which they decline, and not have supposed help imposed on them from a dozen different people. But ultimately, I think it's the managers and employees who are accountable for the budget, and that then they present it to committees and boards for approval. That's been my experience to this point, just in general. And in terms of transparency, and specifically regarding KPFA, I've been involved in governance at Pacifica now for 4 years, and on the NFC, the PNB and NFC for more than two and a half years now. And I still don't have confidence that I have any idea what's going on at KPFA financially. It totally blindsided me to find out that they had a pile of more than $300,000 that evidently no one else knew about either, that was in a position to be seized. And the first question I had after that was, wow, if we didn't know that, I mean, and I'm paying attention, if I didn't know that, then what else don't I know? And how would I find out? And I still don't have questions, or I still don't have answers to those questions. Thank you.
This is Kim. May I be recognized?
Okay, Kim, I've got you, but I got our Paul first.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Yes, I think for transparency, it's a good idea. And yeah, you get into arguments, and then you get into people who need to be brought up to speed, shall we say, when you're discussing some of these things, because it's not something they've known in the past. And also, if you have a governance that is not strictly locked into management, then yeah, it pretty much helps to be able to have something where management comes to a committee as opposed to the whole LSB and starts talking about it, and then you say, you know, what's line 42 about, and people hear about it and they get actually educated, because a lot of people, in my experience, listeners love to talk about the programming, and listeners go on about it, you know, a lot. When it comes to, you know, and we have bills to pay, some people seem dumbfounded by that. And of course, if you want to get into details of that, they have to move a little slowly. So I think it helps to have general public in terms of people who are willing to come to a local finance committee or something, to be able to learn what's happening at the station. And then you have more people who have an understanding of what's happening and the financial issues, which aren't, you know, always obvious to the people who listen to the programming. And I think the local finance committees help a great deal when you have various political groups in an LSB, and you also have a management that, you know, is there and has to be dealt with, and maybe not everybody agrees with everybody. And I think it's good to have things out so that people, you know, so you don't suddenly have somebody jumping up and making an outrageous claim of gigantic criminal proportions you know, when and everybody else doesn't know about it and says, what? So, yeah, I think the local finance committees are a good idea. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Kim.
Well, in a perfect world, all of this would be this way or that way. When KPFK did have a business manager, yeah, the GM and the business manager presented a budget. We haven't had a business manager in, well, a couple of years now. Well, especially this last year since we lost Netta, who could devote, you know, specific attention to KPFK. And, you know, general managers are not hired to be business managers. So, yes, in a perfect world, they would present the budget, but if they're not, that's not their skill set, you know, you got to work with what you got. I mean, last November, I asked the GM to update.
Kim.
What?
Kim. Yeah, we started talking a little bit about the performance of the general manager there at KPFK.
No, let me finish. Let me finish, Jim. I'm not going to.
Kim,
oh, for
Kim,
God's
come
sake.
On. Please. Please do not interrupt me. Just let me finish
well,
what I'm saying.
You
interrupted her.
Because I'm going to make a point of order then. It's a point of order. So, Kim, I'm just reminding you not to get into telling so many stories about the performance of the general manager. This is an open session. And please, whatever's causing that echo, please mute.
I am
go ahead,
well aware. I last November, in public, at the local finance committee, I asked for an updated budget from the GM because it was an older budget. And that didn't happen for over 6 months. There was no treasurer for over 6 months, and there were no finance committees after, like, a month later. So, you know, in a perfect world, we would have gotten an updated budget from the GM. And that didn't happen until KPFK was allowed to conduct an election and hire a treasurer. And then 2 weeks after that treasurer was elected, you had a budget. Okay? In a perfect world, we don't have right now. So we're dealing with what we have.
All right, well,
thank you.
Okay. Is
Sharon
there anybody else?
Death. Oh, I just have one
go
last
ahead.
Comment.
Sharon, yeah, let me just see if there were anybody who wants to come behind you yet. Anybody else besides Sharon? Go ahead, Sharon.
I just wanted to respond a little bit to the $300,000 being taken to say that, yes, KPFA did count on that money and had to actually engage in some difficult layoffs after that money was taken. So it's not like it was just lying around as extra money.
Yeah, I think the transparency point was apparently some people felt that it hadn't been clear where that money was being held, but I don't think we need to go into that any further now. Anybody else who wants to make any comment? It's now 7 minutes past 10. I don't think we're going to get to reviewing those financials in an in-depth way tonight. Is anybody else want to comment on any of this so far? Okay, hearing none. Let me get a sense of the committee here. It's, as I say, it's 7 minutes past 10. I'd like to have been able to review those financials last 2 weeks ago at our meeting, but that didn't happen. And now we didn't get to it again tonight. All we, you know, the conversation we had was valuable. We really should try to review those financials so that then they can be released. Again, the echo just came back again. Whoever just did something, take a clue. That may be what's causing the echo. And now it seems to be gone again. So could I just have a moment of I know we're not supposed to take a poll, our call, but could we just hear anybody's thoughts about where to go from now, from here? Is it worth trying to start looking at the financials for the period ending May 31st? And we want to put that off till next time.
This is Kim.
Or Paul.
Go ahead, Kim.
Well,
I heard Kim.
I would recommend one of two things: extend time, or set another meeting for next Tuesday. But I would recommend extending time.
Okay. Our Paul.
I don't. If you do it for next Tuesday, you're going to do it without me, I know. We could probably talk about it a bit more. I don't think we have to be exhaustive. The executive director talked about a narrative. Maybe we could get the high points of it, which will probably cover, most of the issues and questions we might have, and just go on with that. And at the next meeting, the next regular meeting, we can dig way into it if we please, and we'll have the benefit of having gotten a sort of précis of the whole thing tonight. So I hope we don't go till after midnight, but I would live with extending this meeting for a bit to do that to a certain extent. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Beth, I'm going to recognize you in just a moment. I'm fine with all of that, but I guess we can't really release them until we have drilled down to them, because what we're doing is looking for large errors or, things that are somehow misplaced or mistaken. So go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Thank you. If Kim wanted to make her recommendation a motion, I would second it if that were necessary, but given that this is a committee, that's not necessary. So I would just say I would vote for it. I of the two options she lays out, I would prefer to get it done tonight so that we don't fall any farther behind. We're getting farther and farther behind with financials rather than catching up. I think we need to get this out of the way so that we can turn our efforts toward catching up, accelerating the pace over the next few weeks. Thank you.
I will note in response to Beth's comment that it's not like we're going to be falling behind because we don't have any newer financials yet. So, unless they arrive before the next meeting, we won't be actually falling behind. So the way to do this is for someone to make a motion, then we can see if anyone wants to amend it, and let's see what anybody would like to do. Can we hear a motion?
I move to extend for half an hour.
Okay, Kim. Let's just start with discussion. Is there any discussion on that?
And Kim,
could the motion please say till a time definite instead of for half an hour?
Yeah, and is it for the meeting, Kim, or from now? I assume it's the meeting.
I don't care. Whatever.
I do.
Well,
give it time.
Amend it. Amend it. Take your suiting. I don't care.
God.
I'm ready to work as long as, the work is here. I don't care.
Okay. Paul, would you like to amend to give a time certain?
Well, okay. We only have to extend the time for this item till, and I don't have anything after that. So, how about we go to 10:30?
Okay, and that's for the meeting. That's not just the item, that's the meeting, of course, right?
Yeah.
Okay, any discussion?
That's only 18. Beth?
Go ahead.
Thank you. That's only 18 minutes, isn't it? And I don't trust that that's inadequate. I mean, if we approve more time and don't need it all, we can... What?
Do you have a second amendment?
I just want to do it till we're done. That's my inclination. I think we spend more time arguing over time limits than we save by limiting ourselves. So I want adequate time to do the job right.
McFadden on stack.
Go ahead, McFadden.
Let's go to 11. Then, and if we can end early, if people keep their comments concise. You know, let's amend to 11. We don't have to go that long. People, you know, keep their comments concise and don't ramble on. We can be done in 15 minutes, maybe. But if we set it for 15 minutes, there'll be an argument. There'll be another one of these things. It's just, let's just set it for 11. And it's time certain, and it's not going to go past 11. I'm not going to stay around past 11.
Okay. Is there any discussion of McFadden's amendment?
I have no objection.
I like
Thank
it.
Kim, any other discussion? Kim likes it. I mean, Beth likes it. Not hearing any other discussion. Is there any objection to McFadden's amendment? Hearing none, I think McFadden's amendment clears off our Paul's amendment for 15 minutes until 10:30. So is there any objection to the motion to extend the meeting? Now, the main motion to extend the meeting to 11 o'clock. Hearing none, that's what we'll do. Congratulations, folks. I think that's a good decision. I appreciate that. So let's all take a moment and go to our email, if anyone is not already looking at it. And our Paul was kind enough to resend that prior to the meeting. And we should all have it at the top of our email. So is everybody getting there? Is everybody looking at it now?
Yes.
I'm looking at it. Very good. Okay, Stephanie, do you want to begin with a presentation?
Yes. I mean, it's basically what I usually take a look at is just 2 years ago, but I mostly compare where we were 1 year prior and then where we are with the year-to-date actual. I mean, one thing to take into consideration, Markeisha had to be pulled away unexpectedly for some family issues, and she wasn't able to be at this meeting. She's out of town for just a couple more days, then she will be returning. She had to be out of town for a couple of weeks. But by the time we have another meeting, we will most likely have the consolidated financials for ending in June because she was in the process of finishing those before she was pulled away. But when we look at where we were with our revenue from 1 year ago, year to date, to where we are year to date, we're up just a little bit, obviously not a lot, but, you know, 35 roughly. $40,000+. So our revenue year to date actual is $6,034,200, and our operating expenses also a year prior have dropped. Total year prior at this time, our operating expenses was $7,230,000, and our year to date actual expenses are $6,100,000. I'm rounding up or rounding down. Central service payments have not been put into that with the formula because it's all just kind of at this point a little wonky, and we're so close to the end of the year that we're really focusing on implementing that new central service formula that was voted on as we look into the next going fiscal year. And we'll base that, of course, upon an average of what the revenue was at each of the stations. The expenses, we have had a decrease in the salaries and related expenses because we have had a decrease in the number of employees that we have. When I first started here a little over a year, well, not quite a year and a half ago, a little over a year and a half ago, I guess, we had about 124, 125 employees, and we are now down to about 84. So we have had a decrease in employees, whether that's through individuals leaving on their own or, you know, individuals that have been laid off or retired, those kind of things. So we have had a decrease in our salary and those related expenses, which then, of course, trickle down with any of the taxes that are happening as well. So last year at this time, our salary income was a little over $4,060,000. And we, at this point, year-to-date actual, our salary expenses are $3,600,000. The only sort of new thing that's come in there, which, of course, is expected, is our local election, local board and election expenses. So far, the only thing that's in there right now is the $13,000 that was paid to the National Election Supervisor. We have since in June paid a little under $5,000 to pay for the voting system. So that's the easy ballot, election buddy, kind of an odd name, but that will show up, of course, in the June expense, as well as another payment for our National Election Supervisor. And because that was extended just a little bit in time, that's going to go up to about $15,000. As far as our admin expenses, those have also dropped by about $500,000. Last year at this time, we were at $1.8 million, and this year to date, we're at about $1.3 million. Those two, as we look again moving forward into the different budgets for the next fiscal year, that will, you know, why we have a living budget that we're working with, because we will have, you know, for example, KPFK, those most likely will change, of course, with any sort of rent, office space, moving, those kind of things will have different expenses, and we will have a separate line item that we will add to the budget that will deal with any sort of moving expenses, and that will also affect the archives as well. With our programming expenses, last year at this time we were at $690,000, and this year we are at $643,000. So that is just a slight decrease, but we've had some increases with rent. If we look across the board with tower rent, just slightly, and also with utilities, just slightly. And I know a lot of that with the utilities, with the tower utilities line, it's because we've still most likely been, because we're continuing to pay off the tower past due bills for KPFK. And I'm happy to say we only have about $20,000 left of that. So we are making good progress on that. As we go down to the development line, we also have had a decrease from where we were last year at this time. Our total development expenses were roughly about $580,000, and year-to-date, we're down to about $477,000. As we look forward in working with budgeting in the upcoming year, our credit card fees, those we will be decreasing because we will, you know, our goal is to sit there and consolidate our banking, which then will allow us to have a decrease in those credit card discount fees. And also with the postage and development mailing, as I, again, have been looking through Marquise and I have been looking through a lot of the bank statements with the stations, not only are people not taking full advantage of the nonprofit postage status, so that will also be implemented across the board. But we also are just kind of checking to make sure that if there are things that are being mailed out, if there's premiums that are books, for example, that they're taking advantage of any sort of media mail, which there are not stations that are taking advantage of the less priced media mail. So when you basically then take a look at our net income, net loss at this point last year, our loss was $1,200,000. And this year to date actual is $970,000. So although it's still a net loss, we have been able to make some substantial expense reductions, whether being forced to because of staffing costs that have been declined, but then also just general, different costs that are going down with some of the things that we're doing. And if we look also again at our year-to-date actual, our actuals for revenue, for last year at this time were $5.9 million, and this year-to-date is $6,034,000. So we have had a slight increase in the revenue and a slight decrease in our overall expenses. So our net loss at this point last year is not quite as big.
Yeah.
Yes, I know it's a loss, but it's a loss in a good direction. So, you know, a little smiley face there.
So is that, are you concluding, Stephanie?
Yeah, if anybody has any questions,
okay,
go ahead and ask.
Got it. Thank you.
McFadden to the stack.
Go ahead, McFadden.
As I look through the budget. I was, do comparison from last year to this year, things don't change a lot, except on line 39, where you have a huge difference in, and I just wondered if you can just address that from last year.
Central service from the stations.
That's right. Can you just you had numbers in there last year that are 133,000, and they all dropped to like 20,000, 30,000.
Yeah, that was a negative. Yeah, I am not the central service formula, in all honesty, how it comes across with Great Plains has never been an easy system. Even Netta had a hard time explaining how this was created and why it was this way. So rather than, because the central service from 2 years ago in line 39 is the exact same number as the total year prior at the same time in May. So right there is where there seems to be the issue and concern. I don't believe that there's any way it's the exact same dollar amount. So chances are, Markeisha would probably have a better understanding as to how that would be and why the numbers are so different, because that's a huge substantial difference. And a lot of it most likely is that it's just more realistic as to what we should be expecting from the stations rather than, she might have implemented the new formula actually before she left. So I'll have to get that answer from her when she comes back.
Does it
the way it is right now, we've been in expenses. I don't like the fact that it's just kind of the standalone section. I want that under expenses, put it under the expense line more so rather than just this kind of standalone clump of numbers.
I guess my real question is like in the prior year where it's 133,000 pretty much every time, did that get broken out so we only see 20,000 on that line or 30,000, for this year? And then that other 100,000 is somehow hidden elsewhere in these lines. It's just kind of like confusing how that kind of a change happens.
Yeah, I'll have to get those answers from her, because again, what we're trying to do is with that whole section on central service payments, just none of it makes sense as how it's laid out right now in the budget.
Okay.
Kim?
Go ahead, Kim.
So one of the things we're going to need to do on Kay's budget, we used to have this a long time ago, was a new section just for capital expenses, because we need to put a new transmitter on our budget, and it can't go into expenses. So, going forward, we need to figure out how to do that, just so it's on there.
Thank you for that, Kim.
Nick Fadden is back.
Go ahead.
This is really quick. Looking at the budget, whenever I've had spreadsheets, you actually have formulas in there. So you know when you click on an element in the spreadsheet, it's going to tell you it's the sum of all the numbers above you, and then you can look at that formula and say, okay, it's right. And it really provides transparency on what you're actually looking at. When you just get a table of numbers like this, you can look at the numbers, but you can't see how the totals all work out or if there's any, mistakes. You'd spend days trying to check every number if you were going to look for a mistake, or doing, hours at least. So it would benefit us if we got the spreadsheets with the numbers rather than these kind of spreadsheets that just have raw numbers in them.
I agree, and I did talk to Markeisha about that, and it's something to do with Great Plains and how it's output. Whatever it is that when she has to pull this final report, it has something to do with Great Plains not pulling in the formulas. Netta didn't work in Great Plains. They would get the information, plug it into something else, and that's what they would pull their reports from and then give those to us, because Great Plains wasn't that great of a program for them, and it didn't talk to the system that they were using. So again, it's one of those things, we work with what we have, but I have told her that it is frustrating not to see the formulas on the reports that that are downloaded, whereas she has the reports in hers. So we're trying to figure out a way to be able to convert it that we can get those formulas that are in place. And, you know, Great Plains may not be, again, I'm not married to any software system. I don't know the background behind Great Plains, why we need to use them or have to use them, and if there's something that would be simpler for us to move into. But this is what we have right now. But again, Netta never, you know, Netta didn't use it.
This is Kim.
Teresa.
Go ahead. I got Kim. I got Teresa. And I'm thinking about asking our Paul, who I think has spoken about the history of Great Plains before at Pacifica, he might consider doing that again. Our Paul, might you be willing?
A history of Great Plains?
Yeah, the history of the use of Great Plains in Pacifica. I think you've spoken about that in the past. You know, when we had to get an update, and we haven't had an update recently.
Well, yes, it's had to be updated. People had to be trained, but, you know, I don't know if that's the thing we need to – I don't know if that relates to the formulas issue, if that's what you're asking.
Okay, I just thought you might have more in-depth on Great Plains. So let's go back to Kim. Go ahead, Kim.
I just want to say that Great Plains may not be what we want, but a wish list of what we do want plus about $50,000 – would get us a new program. So that's kind of like not worth discussing at this moment in time, in my opinion.
Okay. Thank you for that, Teresa.
Does Markeisha have a suggestion as to what software or what software we should use?
I would go to her for the suggestions, obviously, on what to use, because she would know better than I. And again, like Kim was saying, that they're easily Great Plains version that we're using most likely needs to be updated in order to kind of get these modified reports, and we don't have the funds for the updates that are available, or in some cases, not even the computer power at the stations to be able to even handle that upload. But yeah, that's definitely something that I would run by and talk with her first. I wouldn't make that decision on my own, as well as other volunteers that we have that are very well versed in accounting software.
You know, we might very well have a listener that actually owns the software. I mean, you might have the solution out there if we could somehow cast a net and ask if anybody had it to give to us. Just a thought.
Yes, because I have had a person, and one person that's a listener and a donor, that has offered to help with the software that is necessary to help convert QuickBooks into Great Plains in a more convenient version than having to have Markeisha do it all by hand. So we do have people out there that are much well-versed in this and have solutions to some of these problems that we don't have the manpower or the money to do.
You done, Teresa?
Well, perhaps we should give some thought as to how we can possibly put some requests out, because we may very well have listeners. We have very talented listeners, very I mean, people that have listened to us through the years, they have many skill sets, and they have money, and they have power, and they have knowledge. If we could only think of a way to get information out to them about some of our needs, they might very well give us things in kind, as or money. Just a thought. Thank you.
R. Paul?
Go ahead, R. Paul.
Okay, I don't think this is what you were asking for a few minutes ago, but as I recall, we did update Great Plains at one point. That cost $50,000. We then had to spend money to train the people who were using Great Plains at the time, who were more people than are using it now, I think, to deal with the updated form of Great Plains. So updating Great Plains costs a lot of money. I mean, I don't know the full issue around us doing that in the past, but there were issues of not getting it installed quite timely. There were issues of not everybody getting trained rapidly. And so maybe what would be good is if somebody could look and see if we really updated it, if we used the update that we paid for a few years ago, and see if that's there and see if that is still functional. I mean, the way it works with a lot of computer stuff is sometimes there are major and minor updates, and sometimes the minor updates cost money that you don't need to spend. So maybe some listener who deals with Great Plains, as has been mentioned here, could just give us a clue, because all you have to do is look at, you know, Great Plains help about, and it will tell you the version number and tell somebody, is this the latest one? You can also go up to their website. I think they'll at least give you that information for free. And, you know, we can see if we're kind of far out on a limb with what is considered ancient Great Plains, or if we're pretty close to up to date. That's all. Thank you.